Good morning, church. Thank you, Deacon Bruce, for your warm welcome. I want to say thank you to Reverend John Cork for inviting me to speak in the Missions Month this Sunday, and in fact, the whole month. On behalf of Dream Center Ipoh, send you greetings. Indeed, it's good to come back, not here actually in that sense, to be. I was from KL Baptist Church many years ago, but here belongs to KL Baptist Church as well. So it's great to be here among the people, the Baptist people. I thank God for you all. Today I'm going to share with you on Now I'm Ready. Before that, I want to say thank you to the worship team for the wonderful songs you all have put up. Indeed, songs are so powerful. As we worship God, it resonated in me that how those songs say, God is fighting for you. God is fighting for me. I will not die. I will live. Will you die? Church, will you die? No. Yes, we will die. But we will not die because Christ lives in us. We must realize that. Not only we sing the song, but we will live out what the truth is. Very important. As we know the truth, the Word of God, we must always remember to live out the truth of the Word of God. Otherwise, it will all be in our head. And that will not transform life. That will not change life. I encourage you, Isham, as you sing, as you worship God, God, you are my fighter. God, you are the one who fights for me. You are the maker of heaven and earth. So that when you live your life, when you are down, you say, God is there for me. And you will live, and you'll live strong. And you will not go into depression. You'll be encouraged. You know that God is fighting with you. One of the greatest dangers for us Christians facing us is that we are bored with the cross. We are not interested with the cross. We think we know a lot about the cross, and we think the knowledge about the cross is basic knowledge. But unknowingly, we have lost the focus of our sight on Christ and Him crucified. And together, we lost the amazement of the cross. There's so much we can talk about the cross. There's so much truth about the cross. And I wonder how much you know about the cross. Such amazement usually begins from the pulpit. Such loss of amazement begins in the pulpit. If we don't preach and teach from the pulpit, it will cascade down into our care groups, our homes, and eventually to those people sitting on the pew. The cross. The cross is at the heart. I'm trying to get the PowerPoint. The cross is at the heart. The cross is at the heart of our faith, our worship, our life, and our mission. You take it away, you will remove the foundation of what we stand for. Everything hangs on the cross. Yes, everything. If we lose sight of the cross and its meaning, the cross loses its attraction on us. And when we lose that attraction on us, we will lose the passion for Christ. Have you lost that passion for Christ this morning? This morning I commend Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, Desert Park City, for the Missions Month, for their heart for mission. And indeed, you have the DNA of Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, your mother church. Every year, Missions Month remains the same, although you may have different speakers. But to have any resulting impact, it has to begin with you. All of you, if you want to see result, any change in your Missions Month, it has to start with you. Any meaningful change has to come from you as the hearer of the words of God. In other words, you need to rightly respond to the challenge and call to mission in order to produce results. All of us are called to missions in various ways, and not only the one seated next to you. Look at your neighbors next to you and say, God, please send him or her. Look at your neighbors. Do that exercise. God sent him. Amen. Now, I hope you have done the exercise. Now that every one of you has been sent. Will this mission month be like the one, like those in the past, that you will only hear, you'll sit down and hear and listen, but no response coming from you? Your sight must be focused on the cross and its meaning before a conviction comes. It's very important. Have you heard about the story of the eye thief? Have you heard about it? In Life magazine, in the October 1993 issue, a story is told of a 10-year-old boy by the name of Jensen playing a flute. Jensen was blind. Blindness itself was a tragedy. But the cause of his blindness was even more tragic. When Jensen was 10 months old, his mother took him to the hospital in Bogota, Colombia, because he had an acute diarrhea. And there, he was being treated. The next day, the mother went to see the child. To his horror, the child's, we have bandages, they have bandages over his eyes and blood stained over his body. The mother asked the doctor, What happened to my child? What happened to his eyes? Then the doctor said, can you see what happened to your child? Your child is dying. And with that, the mom was discharged. The child was discharged. And the whole thing was dismissed. Wow. Mom was so desperate and took the child and rushed to the other hospital. And when the child was in the other hospital, the doctor pronounced a chilling news to the mom. The eyes of your child have been stolen. The eye of your child have been stolen. Jensen has been the victim of an eye thief. Jensen was now blind. Blindness is strictly defined as a state of being sightless in both eyes. A complete blindness is the inability to see anything, including light. Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, exposes the enemy who steals our eyesight. He says, here on the screen you read, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The scripture here speaks very clearly that Satan is the eye thief of the unbelievers. He's not here to steal the physical eyesight, but the spiritual eyesight of the unbelievers. And not only that, he steals the spiritual eyesight of believers like you and I. Whenever in missions month, we hear the word of God and ignore it, our hearts are gradually hardened against it. And gradually, it's likened to our spiritual eyesight being stolen by the eye thieves. And this morning, will you take heed to the word of God? When you hear the word of God for missions, are you going to respond? Or are you going to gradually allow it to harden your eyes, harden your heart, and let your spiritual eyesight be stolen by the eye thief? How can we stop the eye thief this morning? The answer is the cross. The answer is the cross. How? The heart of the cross speaks of the heart of God. The heart of the cross speaks of the heart of God. It is the revelation of God's heart. To understand the cross is to understand God. To see the cross is to get the clearest and the deepest look into the heart of God. If I humble myself and linger in the presence of the cross and turn my spiritual eyes upon it, I see the heart of God with three amazement, or three convictions, you can call that. Amazed by His holiness, amazed by His love, amazed by His power. Let's begin. that we'll be amazed by His holiness. PowerPoint slide seems to run today, not working for me. All right, let's begin the first one. I'm amazed by His holiness. As I gaze at the cross, I discover that it reveals the gravity of my sin. In the cross, I see God's standard of perfection and how much I've fallen short from that standard. There's also the demand from God for sinlessness of me, which I could never ever measure up to. Sin is simply missing the mark of God. I could miss it by an inch or by a mile. It could be as a murderer or just a simple lie. It's one thing to see God's holiness. It's even harder to see the same holiness rejects every bit of sin in me. God is holy. This is the nature of God. And He cannot tolerate sin. So when my sin was laid on the shoulder of Jesus Christ on the cross, that dark afternoon, God turned His face away from God. Jesus cried out, my God, why have You forsaken me? Why have You forsaken me? God's own Son had to be shunned because of the sin Jesus took on His body for me. Jesus was forsaken so that I was not forsaken. Jesus was forsaken so that I might be forgiven. The Father and the Son, our Heavenly Father and the Son, experienced a separation, a broken relationship temporarily that they had never experienced before. Now, if God rejected His Son on His because of sin on His shoulder, He rejects me as well, a sinner. Isn't it amazing that God would even go that far to separate Himself from the beloved Son to reach out to me? As I look at the cross, I'm amazed by His holiness. Secondly, I'm amazed. Secondly, I'm amazed by His love. Hello? Amazed by His love. As I cast my sight on the cross, I'm amazed by His love. My sin is ugly, but He still invites me to reason together. So when God reaches down to me in love, it's the most amazing love ever demonstrated. Most amazing? Yes, this is exactly what it is. You may call God's love crazy. His love is unconditional, unchanging, limitless. His love found me even when I was in my rebellion, in my brokenness. Nothing can stop Him from loving me. He graciously took the pain on the bloody cross that was meant for me. Although unworthy to receive the love, it can never be taken away from me. Where else will I receive such amazing love? There's no other place except at the cross of Jesus Christ. I may feel undeserving of His love, and I struggle to fully understand it. No Sunday school class can fully explain God's love to me. The cross continually brings me to tears, revealing to me my own wretchedness, but proving to me over and over again that I am loved even though so imperfect. Wonderful cross. God's heart of love reflects, shines through every splinter of the cross. I cannot look at the cross and remain passive. I cannot do that. I cannot look at the cross of Christ and remain passive and do nothing about it. I must offer myself back to God unreservedly in grateful serving. How about mission? Will you go for mission for God? It could be at your own marketplace, a place where you serve God. Are you willing? Are you impressed? Are you convicted by His love on the cross? Along with God's holiness and love, the cross also showed me His amazing power. It doesn't seem to be working again. But not all the things are coming out at the same time. I'm so sorry. Don't know why. What happened? It's supposed to come out one by one. All right? Along with God's holiness and love, the cross also showed me His amazing power. A power much more destructive than any invented nuclear weapons on earth. In just one final blow, He crushed the greatest enemy, Satan. In His earthly ministry, Jesus cast out many evil spirits. But on the cross, He took on the prince of the power of the air and every evil one under Satan, and He overpowered them all. Apparently, Jesus was defeated on the cross. But we know Jesus resurrected on the third day and conquered death. He rose as a victor, seated at the right hand of God. We read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, to see how Jesus on the cross brought Satan's kingdom crashing down. He says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with His regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." We were once dead in sin, but now God made us alive in Christ. We were once guilty before God, but now God canceled the written code, took it away, nailing it to the cross. Satan is stripped of all his powers and authorities. But now the cross has stripped him of all his title too. The amazing power of the cross exterminated Satan. So Satan is now stripped, shamed, and subdued. This is what happened to Satan now. He is stripped, shamed, and subdued. Therefore, you and I no longer live in fear or under the bondage of Satan. Not only Jesus overpowered Satan and his demons, Jesus' love overpowered my life too. When you approach the cross with an open heart, it will do something to you, not just for you. My brothers and sisters, the cross is not your servant. The cross is not just a mere symbol of your Christian faith. It is a scalper, like the one used by the surgeon for operation. But this is a spiritual operation. So be sure, the cross will kill you. Kill me, you ask. How? Yes. The cross will kill you. It will kill your pride. The cross will kill your self-centeredness. The cross will kill your idols. The cross will kill your addictions. The cross will kill your lust. The cross will even kill your ambition. The cross is an instrument of death. It killed Jesus. It will kill you too. You die to the things of the world that used to seem so important, but are now no longer rule your life. So after being amazed by His holiness, His love, and His power, how do I live? How do I exchange my life to make my life worth living? Again, it's not working for me. It's showing you everything before I preach. Right, bear with me. You can never approach the cross and walk away unchanged. If you are serious with God, you can never walk and approach the cross, walk towards the cross and walk away unchanged. No one responds to mission work without first seeing the reality of the cross and be compelled by it. Again, to be compelled by His holiness, His love, and His power. Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, wrote this, "For Christ's love compels us." It describes the powerful and self-motive and the Spirit-filled motivation of believers. Our faith affects the quality of our spiritual eyesight. A weak faith impairs spiritual eyesight. And impaired spiritual eyesight has a blurred vision of the cross of Christ. A blurred vision causes us unwilling to make worthwhile exchanges in life. We must therefore build strong faith in our walk with God. Your clear spiritual eyesight is so important because it determines your fundamental orientation in life. Is it cross-centered or self-centered? Your orientation in life decides whether you would exchange your life for worthwhile things. We all exchange our lives for something. Some of us exchange our lives for money, power, and fame, and willing to sacrifice our reputation, our integrity, and even our conscience. Some people would do that, and they're even prepared to go to prison for that. Don't follow that example. It's a bad example for us to follow. Some of us may simply choose an easy life to cruise on autopilot, directionless in life. But when God looks into the heart of the person, God finds complacency and laziness in the person's life. Will that describe you this morning? God called me into full time in the year 2011. I thank God that I responded to His calling to go into full-time, to plant churches for Him. Since then, I've never looked back with regrets. I've never looked back with regrets. Whatever He calls, whoever He calls, He will provide, He will supply, and He will help, He will assist. If God calls you to do mission work today, whether it's a full-time missionary work or whether it's in your own marketplace or wherever you are, if God calls you to do mission, go and do the work of God. You will never regret. This is worthwhile exchange. I could have continued to earn money, to earn more money, but it has no eternal value. But when I plant the church for God, by His grace, I see so safe. These are eternal values. I see people saved. Three things that will last: the Word of God, God Himself, of course, and the soul of man. These are the things that is worth investing your life in. And what are you exchanging your life for today? And when God calls you to do certain things, don't worry. You will not die. You will live. Why? Because He wants to use you to do His work. A few years ago, about 5 years ago, I thought I would die because I got an artery blocked. A few arteries were blocked. But I knew that I would not die. I told my wife, I will not die. Because there's still plenty of work to be done. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to exchange your life for something worthwhile? Something that will bring eternal values? The soul of man is so important. If God calls you today, are you willing? Are you willing to respond? Invest in something eternal, eternally worthwhile. Otherwise, all our efforts will be worthless, futile. In Ecclesiastes, he says, a chase after the wind. At the end of the day, we will be disappointed. In March 1995, in the Chicago Tribune reported a case of a 38-year-old man tried to dash across a four-lane of a tri-state highway in Rosemont, Illinois, USA. It was a windy day. The strong wind blew his head away, and he chased, by instinct, he chased after his head. And what happened was that there came a semi-trailer. It could not stop or brake on time, and it hit the man, and he died instantly. The reporter, in capturing the tragedy of the moment, this is what he reported. This is what he penned in his solemn reflection. He says, it's not working. He lost everything while pursuing nothing. The man lost everything while pursuing nothing, chasing after his head. Let's ask ourselves these serious questions, these sober questions this morning. Should our lives end today where the same reflection describe you? I lost everything while pursuing nothing. Ask yourself this question. It's very sad words, isn't it? We must therefore make wise decisions in life. We must therefore determine to make wise exchanges in life to save ourselves from pursuing nothing. Responding to mission work or the calling is certainly a worthwhile exchange in life. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. For mission work, let me conclude. For mission work to begin, it must first begin with a clear vision that comes from the conviction of the cross. Unless you are amazed by His holiness on the cross, you'll be proud and living without the fear of God. Unless you are amazed by the love on the cross, you'll be self-centered and living without the compulsion to share the gospel of Christ. Unless you are amazed by His power on the cross, you'll be ignorant and living without the resurrection power of the cross. Have you been amazed by the cross? Have you been amazed by the cross? Without those amazement, there is no motivation for mission. You need those amazement, my brothers and sisters. Tradition tells us that when Jesus was a teenager, there was a rebellion near where he lived. The Roman soldier crushed the rebellion and crucified every Jew and nailed the Jew to the cross in almost every 10 meters apart along a road for a distance of 16 kilometers. Imagine that. It was a strong deterrent to the rebels. Imagine a sight of 1,760 people dying on the cross for 16 kilometers. For here, it's like from Desa Park City all the way along the LDP. You pass through Wan Utama, pass through SS2, pass through Tamamega, all the way to Paradigm Mall. You will know where's Paradigm Mall and a little beyond. 16 kilometers, you see dead bodies hanging on the cross. It must have been an indelible sight, impression on the mind of Jesus then. Long before Jesus' death, the cross to him was already an extremely ugly and horrible sight. Yet, Jesus offered himself on the cross unreservedly. He offered himself unreservedly. He started mission to save mankind and invites you today, you and I, to join him. Mission. You have the last PowerPoint slide? His mission is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. The mission of Jesus is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. This morning, come to the cross with me. Come again to the cross with me. We often need a physical symbol to remind us about the spiritual truth. Find something like that. Whether in the church or in the solitude of your own devotional time, find a visual symbol of the cross. Sit alone in silence. Look at it. Do nothing but sit, gaze, and listen. Be still and let the God who was hung on the cross speak to you. Cherish, embrace your old rugged cross until you fall in love with it. Fall in love with the cross. Fall in love with the cross. Speak to your neighbor. Fall in love with the cross. You dare not look at your neighbor because you are in love with something else. Fall in love with the cross, my brothers and sisters. And after having fallen in love with the cross, you can then say, now I'm ready for mission. Now I'm ready for mission. It's important. Whoever wants to do mission work, whoever wants to serve God in mission, or whoever wants to serve in your marketplace, wherever God has called you to, make sure you fall in love with the cross. It's very important. I tell you why. The cross is your anchor in stormy time. The cross is your shield to hide behind when everything seems to go wrong. The cross is a constant reminder when tempted to be proud. The cross is your affirmation when you doubt your calling. It's very important. You need the cross to remind you. The cross is your birth certificate that continually reminds you of who you are and to whom you belong to. Therefore, fall in love with the cross. It's so important. You need that continuing love relationship with the one who died on the cross to sustain you throughout your mission journey. My brothers and sisters, fall in love with the cross. And when you are fallen in love with the cross, now I'm ready for mission. Shall we all arise? Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. My brothers and sisters, Jesus has done everything for us on the cross. We have been declared righteous before God. The cross speaks of death to your old life and a new life in Christ. To respond to the message, will you once again gaze at the cross and be motivated by His amazing love, amazing holiness, and His amazing power for mission. May this be a life-changing missions month for you, and fall in love with the cross, and that you will commit to make worthwhile life exchanges for His glory. What are you exchanging your life for this morning? Are you living for yourself or living for His glory? I want to ask you, challenge you. If this morning you say, God, I've listened to your word. I know what you're saying, Lord. God, I want to respond to your call to do mission work, perhaps in the mission field, or to do mission work in the place that you put me in the marketplace. Wherever, God, you want to put me in, I'm willing to serve you. For all these are mission works to reach out to people, to serve your kingdom, and to bring glory to you. If you are the person God has spoken to, God has impressed upon you this morning, I encourage you to put your right hand, your right palm on your chest as a symbol, as a sign to the Lord. Put your right hand, your right palm on your chest and say, God, this is my expressions that I'm willing to respond to mission. God, I want to make my life count for Jesus. It's a worthwhile exchange. I want to live for you. You see, the end times is coming. Days are short. Brothers and sisters, don't waste any more time. Live for Jesus. Live for something that has eternal values. Other things has no eternal values. Mission is something that is worth living for. It will bring eternal value and bring joy to the heart of God. Father, I thank you for our brothers and sisters who put their palms, oh God, their right palm on their hearts, oh God, to express, oh God, they are responding, oh God, to mission, to what you have called them to do, oh God, whether it's the mission field, or oh God, in the marketplace, or in church, or wherever, Lord, that you have called them to. They want to make an impact. They want to live a life that is worthwhile, to make worthwhile life exchanges, oh God. Father, you see the hearts of a children. Father, will you accept them? Will you not take them? Will you, oh God, empower them, energize them, enable them, oh God, to do the work that you have called them to? And I pray that this mission month will be a different mission month for them, that they will work out, oh God, the life, oh God, the truth, oh God, that you have implanted in their lives, in their head, so that, Lord, their lives will be different, lives being transformed by your word, by your truth. Thank you, Lord God, for being with us. We give you thanks. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.